Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
No baseball for the foreseeable future. Man, Ken Rosenthal was fired by Major League Baseball this offseason. He's no longer going to be on their telecasts. He wrote but he's had his issues with Rob Manfred, and he writes for The Athletic now covering baseball, and he took a few shots at Manfred again here. Might as well. You're already fired me. What do I care now? Manfred and company knows that the players will come back. He wrote a couple of things in here. Even now, though, Manfred and the owners are responsible for the lockout, the deadlines, and yes, both sides must face the consequences. It's not simply that Manfred at times smiled during his news conference Tuesday when he should have been more solemn. By now, his inadequacies as a public speaker are well established. The bigger problem is that he and the owners have been unable to build a functional relationship with the players and are unapologetic about it. I didn't know this, that the players will lose $20.5 million for each day removed from the 186-day regular season schedule. Once 15 days are missed, the free agent eligibility of star players such as Shohei Ohtani and Pete Alonso could be delayed by one year.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that is a huge deal for those guys. It would take another year for them to get to free agency because you have to have a certain number of games.
Yeah. Service time.
Service time. So,
well, but the good thing is they're – what I heard is that they are actually doing some things. There's some things inside this agreement that is going to help the fans. So I'd rather they fight for us and fight for our freedom.
Yeah, that's not the case. They're not. It's not. There's nothing in here for the fans. Zero.
Do you want to go back and read what they said?
No.
I would rather they continue to fight for our freedom than have to worry about if they get to free agency faster service time.
Well, here's.
They said, you read it.
Yeah.
They said
it's for
we're doing this for the
fans,
basically.
Well, they're screwing. You know what? There is a lot more at stake for the players than there is for the owners.
Yeah,
a lot more. I mean,
the owners like, all right, we can keep cans. We keep doing this all day.
How about this? The union, drawing on its reserves, has authorized a monthly stipend of $15,000 for April. $15,000? You think that's going to cover Major League Baseball players' expenses for April? You think $15,000 is going to be, oh, okay, I got $15,000. I'm good now. Are you kidding? So, I mean, these players are going, they're up against it. If I'm a young guy with making a minimum salary, you know, I'm starting to get used to making $600,000 a year. That's nice. But guess what? Then you buy a house. Then you buy, you know, and you only get paid during the season now. You got 4-5 months off that you don't get. There's no money coming in. Well, the money's going to start coming in again in February when you're at spring training, and then in March. If it ain't coming in April, those big checks, guess what? I'm hurting. So these young players are going to start to feel it, and they're going to start to say, hey, guys, we need to get back out there. I mean, yeah, Verlander, you're fine. I'm sure you're okay, but I'm not. I need to get working. And then that's the problem for the union, and it's always been the problem for the union. And then Shohei Ohtani, if I'm him, I'm like, hey, let's get going here. I need to get my free agency after next year, not 2 years from now. Because Shohei is going to get paid. He is going to get paid
a
lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What does Shohei Ohtani get right now on the open market?
It is going – oh, my God. Shohei Ohtani on the open market.
How would you like to have be his agent?
It's $40 million a year.
Oh, yeah.
It's $40 million a year. I mean, it starts at $40 million a year.
Should he?
The amount of money he's going to – well, okay, yeah. So I don't know if it works the same as with Yao, but is the Asian market – is it the same? I mean, well, Japanese versus Chinese, I know it's different, and I think the Chinese money is substantially more from a business standpoint. We already know that. They own half of us. They own half of our country. They could – sink us whenever they want with our debt. But is it having a Japanese baseball player? Is it?
I don't know.
Same financial rewards for a team?
I don't know that. I would imagine in the entire Asian community, Shohei Ohtani's got to be huge.
Well, Shohei Ohtani is huge in baseball. I mean, he's a Mike Trout, but with more juice.
So is okay.
And they got two of them. How about that?
If it was merit based, should Shohei Ohtani be the highest paid player in baseball?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, is he the most attractive player?
I mean, it's like a 2-year run, really. But yes.
Well,
he's a good pitcher and a great hitter.
Right. Well, who else would be? Listen. If you are huge in the Hispanic community, I mean, let's face it. Well, I have no idea what pays more, an Hispanic player and the community there, or an Asian player, which would a greater return for the team.
Well, I think it's. I don't know that it has to do with your ethnicity. I think it has to do with tickets. I mean, this is not
basketball.
That's
what I'm saying.
It's not global. It's not as global as basketball.
Not only that, but merchandise-wise.
I think Shohei Ohtani would pull. Do you have a player that you want to – do you have a Latin American player you want to use?
Well, I was thinking – I mean, Carlos. How big is he going to – if he was in New York for the Yankees, the Puerto Rican community – Puerto Rico itself. No. I mean, how big is Carlos going?
He's not bigger than Shohei. It doesn't matter where he plays. You stick Shohei Ohtani, which is, by the way, it's a pretty international market. New York. You stick Shohei Ohtani in New York. Shohei Ohtani is making the bucks. This guy's been in the league for 4 years. Last year, he had 46 home runs. You know, for some reason, only 100 RBIs. Other guys aren't doing their part. Do you know how many stolen bases do you think Shohei Ohtani had?
I have no idea.
How about 26?
Really?
The guy had 46 bombs, 26 stolen base, which is just kind of an afterthought. He was the MVP.
What was his ERA?
Now his OPS was not as high. What do you think his OPS was? We're about to have Lance Berkman comments.
His OPS was 905.
No, that's way lower. 965, which is high. I would have thought last year it was over 1,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I would have thought it was over 1,000. He did have 8 triples. I mean, he led the league in
46
triples.
46 bombs, and it was only 9. That is kind of low, actually.
46 bombs and 8 triples, and his OPS was 965. I was a little bit surprised.
What was his average?
And he walked 96 times. He hit 257, which
yeah, see,
is
that's
lower
the problem.
Than I would
that's,
have
yeah,
anticipated.
That's the problem. Yeah. But, well, now, okay, how many wins did he have as a pitcher?
So, from a win standpoint, he was 9-2. Yeah. He was 9-2, you know, 81% winning percentage, with a 3.18 ERA. He had 156 strikeouts and 130 innings. Basically, just your standard like starting pitcher one, starting pitcher two.
Babe
yeah,
Ruth.
No, we're watching Babe Ruth. Carlos Correa couldn't sniff what Shohei Ohtani would make.
Well, we're watching.
And if it's merit-based, it's not even close. Nobody in the league can touch this guy. And he's 27.
By the way, did you see ESPN's top players of all time in baseball history?
No.
Who do you guess was number one?
Number one all time, Juan Soto. No,
not Gleyber. Juan. That's not Juan.
Well, they get excited about Gleyber, though. They get excited about Gleyber.
No, it's not Gleyber.
I would say number one. Did they make it, Babe?
Babe Ruth. I mean, yeah. Babe Ruth relative to the rest of baseball is just it's night and day.
Willie Mays was so much better than everybody else he played with. It's not even close.
Yeah, Willie Mays was 2. Hank Aaron 3. Ty Cobb, Ted Williams, Lou Gehrig. Mickey Mantle, Barry Bonds was 8th. Walter Johnson, Stan Musial was.
Barry Bonds was his. You know, his kingdom was built heavily on steroids. We all know he was a good player, but you go look at his numbers, and it's like Barry shouldn't be in the top.
What pitcher do you think? What pitcher in this era is the top pitcher according to them?
All time in baseball.
All time in baseball in this era.
In this era, so they we, I
last
can go all
30
the way
years.
Back. Okay, I'm sure it's easy. I'm sure I'm.
No, it's not that easy, actually.
Okay, trying to go back and think. I mean, it's not going to be Pedro. It's not going to be Roger. It's not going to be Randy Johnson. Those are some really good ones. Not going to be Greg Maddux because he didn't have enough juice for them.
Well, Greg Maddux is actually the second in this era.
Greg should be in there. I just don't think he'll be number one. It's not going to be Nolan Ryan, and that's not within the last 30. Not Carlton. Who am I missing? Who am I? Who's a great? It's not JV.
It's Pedro.
It is it's Pedro Martinez?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good for Pedro.
He's 11th. They put him 11th all time.
Dude, that's way higher than but I thought Pedro was incredible. I'm surprised they give him that level of I'm surprised they give him that level of shine, honestly.
Yeah, then Greg Maddux was next. Trout they had as the 15th best player ever. I would have thought Trout would be a top 10 guy.
Just Trout's numbers are
Roger
ridiculous.
Clemens is the third pitcher of this era, the greatest pitcher of this era.
So Pedro Martinez, this is how good he is. Pedro Martinez led the league in ERA during the steroid era, by the way. During the steroid era, Pedro Martinez, he led the league in ERA at 1.90. This is in 97, John. Guys had so much back knee in 1997. He had a 1.90 ERA with 13 complete games. He followed that up with a 2.89, a 2.07, a 1.74, a 2.39, a 2.26, and a 2.22. Pedro Martinez did this during the steroid era. Now, he had a run of 2, 4, 6, 7 years where his ERA was below 3. 7 consecutive years during the steroid era when he had that. When you look at, he won the Cy Young 3 of those years, finished second 2 of those years, finished second in the MVP race once, finished 5th once. Yeah, you know what? I'm just having to get a refresher on how dominant
he really
was.
Because
his dominance, and you look at all these, they're all bolded. You know, bold means league leader.
Mm-hmm.
Strikeouts, 305, league leader. 313, league leader. 284, league leader. 239, league leader. 17 win season, 19, 23, 18, 20. Dude, Pedro Martinez, when he was at his best in Boston, unstoppable. And that one year, he was 17-8 with a 1.9 and 13 complete games. He threw 241 innings and allowed 158 hits. That ratio is absolutely bonkers. He had 67 walks and 305 strikeouts. 5-1 ratio.
That is, he's, oh no.
Hey, you know what, John? Oh my God.
I didn't realize the greatness that he was.
Oh, 37 walks to 313 strikeouts. He went 9-1 strikeout to walk ratio the year he was 23-4 with the 207 during the steroid era.
And it was two of the highest scoring years in history.
Now, let me ask you a question. Is there any chance? That's why across the board his numbers are considered. His strikeout per nine, 13.2, you know. Now,
but
is there any
the
chance?
That's why Babe Ruth is the best, is because his stats relative to the rest of the league. Those stats by Pedro, when the rest of the league was scoring runs at a record rate, are just, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, those numbers.
So his ERA plus,
his
numbers on ERA plus are bananas. But let me ask you a question. Do you recall anyone, and I know we've talked about Kevin Brown and Juice and all that stuff, and Roger's been, you know, Roger, obviously, it's what's going to keep him out of the Hall of Fame. I don't recall anyone mentioning Pedro Martinez.
Because he's always been so little.
Yeah, but
he's 170 pounds.
Yeah, but you're small in stature, but he could really bring it.
I never remember anything,
but that doesn't mean that in the steroid era that one of the most dominant – you look at the dominance of his numbers in the steroid era, and I keep talking about this is incredible. He's doing it against a bunch of steroid guys. And Daryl Hamilton used to always tell us, why do you guys never talk about pitchers?
I never
heard it, and you're talking about his stature, which is never going to change. But is there any chance that in the steroid era, and I'm definitely not accusing him, he's one of my favorite pitchers. He and Maddux were two of my all-time favorites. But is there any chance that Pedro Martinez could have used?
No.
Why not?
Because
look at these numbers. They're not normal.
No, there's nothing. But neither would Babe Ruth. Did Babe Ruth use? No. I mean, you know, some guys are just better, and Pedro was just better. We got to take a break. 8:15 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And listen, March is here. It's officially begun. Time for you to shoot your shot, score big, on the nonstop action at MyBookie. Predict winners in each round of the MyBookie bracket contest for a chance to win a Bitcoin, a Doodle NFT at current value, $50,000, and over $100,000 more in cash prizes. Whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props, MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today with MyBookie. Use promo code BET975 to make your first deposit, earning a free entry into the My Bracket contest. Selections for the bracket will officially begin on March 13th and close March 17th. So get in now. Make sure you get your deposit in now with Bet975 to secure that free entry. You get a free entry. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we're talking baseball, and what does that mean? We bring in our old friend of the show, Richie, joining us here, Richard Justice, here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, a little later than we told him he was going to be down. But we were talking baseball, and Richard's joining us now to talk about this baseball stuff here. Richard, what's up?
Hey, guys, Andy McCullough in the Athletic wrote today. Well, at least Major League Baseball found a way to get on ESPN. It was Manfred's press conference. Then they cut it close and went right back to scouting combine talk. And that kind of tells you the larger story here.
Yeah, Rich, you've been through this so many times. And this one, to me, is just so petty. It's not like it's Marvin Miller fighting for free agency, you know, really big issues. This is just about greed. I mean, this is bad.
It is really bad. And the thing is, the players entered these negotiations knowing there needed to be a dramatic change in the way players are compensated. The NBA and the NFL split the revenues between the players and owners about 50-50. It's down to about 35% by some estimates. In Major League Baseball, the game is getting younger. The smart front offices have figured out how to game the system, you know, with service time manipulation. And the fact is, bring a 21-year-old up making the minimum salary, and that's better than a 31-year-old making $10 or $12 million. And they just felt like they needed to change. Players wanted a bigger share of the money, and they wanted it in the earlier part of careers. Guess what? All that was off the table by yesterday. The players had given away all of that. And I was thinking about this yesterday as the thing counted down. The players weren't going to get what they wanted. Even if the owners had said yes to everything yesterday, it would have still been a very good deal for the owners. The players gave a lot, and at the end of the day, they just said, you know what, we're going to walk away from this deal. And, you know, and is anybody looking out for the game? Is anybody looking out? This is the other part of it, is the things that are wrong with the game, the strikeouts, the home runs, the shifts, all of that that makes the game not watchable, they weren't even dealing with that stuff. This was all about money, and they couldn't even divide up a big pot of money.
It's terrible. Richard Justice joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Well, Rich, will those things ever – I mean, what do you think about the shift? Do we need to get rid of it? Do we need to stop – are we going to stop with the Powerball, either home run or strikeout? Is the game going to change?
I don't know. You know, and the other part of that is, how do you put in writing that your team is going to try? You know, all these teams tanking. how do you put that in writing? You know, and it's not to sound like the old guy, but in the 70s, the owners largely were baseball people. They drank it and slept it and ate it. And now you have guys with a background in hedge funds, with a background in land development, and they look at a broad picture. What do we have to do for the long haul? And they're willing to just wait it out as long as they have to wait it out. And as far as the changes on the field, I don't see that happening, because you hear guys like Justin Verlander and David Price saying, you know, pitch clock, I'm not doing that. Justin has said precisely, I was always taught to slow the game down. I'm not about to speed it up. And the surveys that baseball takes shows that if you're in the ballpark, you like the game as much as ever. But if you're at home, you think, God, this is a slow game. You can watch a 1.5 college basketball games and still come back.
Yeah, Richard Justice is our guest, and you know it is there's a lot that they're battling before, but as John said, it's not. I don't think it's monumental change and monumental issues that should cause player stoppage. Baseball's always regional. Our team happens to be good and happens to matter, so it stings a little more now. I'm wondering if fans in other parts of the country where the baseball teams typically are not competitive or they're smaller market, if they are just going to just check out on baseball a little, if this thing keeps going on, if they're just going to kind of check out on the season anyway because they don't have expectations for their teams. That's the concern. That would be the concern for me in Major League Baseball.
Exactly. And you learn you can live without it. I saw it. You see it in every one of these cities. Attendance has never 100% bounced back in Houston. It did not bounce back in Baltimore. All these places where they go through these massive rebuilds, you find out that people can live without it, and that's the concern. Now, look, the game generates $10 to $11 billion a year. It's to say that baseball is dying, that's not true. But like you said, it's regional. The World Series TV ratings are atrocious and probably not going to get any better. But on a local level, it's still pretty good. But, you know, in Cincinnati, their team is having a sell-off. And what are they talking about? They're talking about who's going to protect Joe Burrow's backside. I mean, that's, you know, that's what the topic of the day is.
Absolutely. Richard Justice, how about losing Philly and the Yankees here? I mean, I'm not worried about Jim Crane's money, but those are two money-making series that the Astros lost. That sucks.
Yeah, it does. And our previous owner would have been very, very upset about that. I saw somebody wrote, I thought of Lance, because I heard some of last week, somebody wrote that no one ever, you don't see owners on the back of jerseys. You don't find owners entertaining. Well, I found the previous owner very entertaining, especially with you. Especially the way you
found you entertaining, Richie. The way you'd say your crazy stuff in the newspaper there, boy, that was real good stuff.
You know, I'll get 10 text messages. He did it. He did it.
Well, I'd hate to be their owners right now. I imagine they're dead broke just like I was. I just barely ended up scraping by at the end of that thing.
Richie, you know what? If the owners hold on, I mean, the young players here are the ones that are getting screwed, and they're the ones that can't afford this thing. They got to get back to playing baseball, and they make up, like you said, the majority of baseball now. At what point? See, the owners know they can always just apply the pressure here, and at some point, the players are going to break.
Yeah, the owners are in the driver's seat, and I just thought, given what's happened to the game since the last agreement, when the franchise values went way up, revenues kept going up, but the player share of the money went down, that the owners understood that we have to reallocate the money, that there has to be a fairer way to do this. And the owners appear to be in it to crush the players and to make the players come crawling back, because they were with it. They were within striking distance. Had the owner said yes to everything, it would have still been a good deal for the owners, and you still really would not have had any protections from the teams that want to tank and bring up the young players and pay them less and boot the 29-year-old guy out the door. But they want more than that. They want all of it. They want all their pie and then more, too.
Richard Justice with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Rich, where does who picks up Carlos Correa when it's all said and done?
I think you got to look at a dark horse. I think Baltimore is a dark horse.
Would he go and lose?
Well, look,
does Elias play a role in that?
And I does who play a role in it? Elias? I think it's going to be Scott Boras in ownership. And you know they're pretty close to being about to turn a corner, some team like that, you know. But what I wonder is how difficult a sell would it be in the clubhouse of the Yankees and the Dodgers after all that was said about the sign-stealing. You know, Carlos made himself the face of the sign-stealing thing by being so out front with his comments and basically saying, hey, screw you. We would have won anyway. And that rub people along the way. But that's also, if he's on your team, that's why you love him, because he plays with a certain swagger.
Absolutely. I can't see him going to lose somewhere, though.
Well, that's all. That you're absolutely right about that. But if you're going, look, Scott Boras wants to break records. Mm-hmm. He wants the first number to be, I don't know if it's going to be a four, but he wants in the $400 million range, something like that. What he's negotiating with the Washington Nationals for Juan Soto right now. Big numbers. And you're going to have to probably explore. You're going to have to go in and sell it to ownership to do that. And that's why I think it could be a team that comes out of the woodwork.
Hmm. Richard Justice here. We were just talking. Who should be the highest paid? Shohei should be the highest paid player when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, Juan Soto is going to end up making more money than any player in the history of the game, because he's the best player in the game. But Soto, Ohtani does is so unique. You know, a couple of years ago when he came in, every team was looking for a guy who could pitch and play the field. And I remember a scout telling me, he goes, it might be that this kid is the most gifted player we've ever had, and that you're not going to be able to find somebody to do what he does, because he is just an athletic freak.
Hmm. Richard Justice here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I feel, but hey, they miss if it's over 15 days this lockout, Rich. Ohtani's got to wait another year for free agency.
Let's see about that.
Right.
The lead negotiator, Bruce Meyer, is going to have something to say for the union negotiator, you know, who came from the NBA. He'll have something to say about that. So when Rob Manfred said yesterday, you know, players are not going to get paid, whoa, slow down there. That's going to be negotiated too.
Yeah.
And so I would be stunned if Shohei, I guess it depends on how long it goes on, but I think the players are going to get their service time.
You would hope. Because that would suck for Ohtani, Pete Alonso, you know, those guys. And as if it isn't long enough to get to free agency, now they'd have to wait another year because of this. That would suck. Richard Justice here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Give us an end date on this thing.
Well, you know, now you're on the clock. Now you're losing games. Every week you're going to lose some more games. And I don't know what you have to talk about at this point. Somebody's got to blink. I thought the players blinked. And the owners just said, no, it's not enough. So, I mean, you have the potential. And I do think there is a group of owners that look at April and go, I lose my shirt in April anyway. What difference does it make? Right. Just go ahead and take April off. I hope that's not the case. But I don't know what you have to discuss at this point, and you're going to start losing more games week by week.
Yep. Especially here. You know, he ain't worried about losing games in April. They don't start showing up until summer vacation anyway, right?
Yeah, I think that's true a lot of places. And I think that's, you know, like I said, the guys that take a long view of it, the hedge fund guys, the land development guys, that's the way they look at it. Like, let's make money when we would normally make money. And we'll make more money because we won't have our losing money.
8:32, Richard Justice. Richie, as always, we appreciate it. Sorry we were late calling you.
Yeah.
But we loved having you on. We appreciate you, as always.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there's Richard Justice right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Quickly, got to talk about Champion Energy. That's Alex Bregman. He talks about this, right? He's a baseball player. Am I right or am I right about that? Yes, and if Alex Bregman says that you should go with Champion Energy, then you should go with Champion Energy. Are you going to argue with Alex Bregman? He's got blonde hair now. No, you don't argue with a guy who's got blonde hair now. So if you're looking for a great way to get your electricity and support baseball, if you hate baseball, then, okay, that's on you. But if you love Alex Bregman, you love baseball, then you should go with Champion Energy. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
don't get this. Oh, let's get Brandon in here. He's been waiting. He wants to talk about the lockout. Then I got something I got to ask you, Lance. Brandon, what you want to talk about with the lockout?
Hey, Johnny, Lance, what's going on, man? Good morning. I love the show. I think the longer this thing lingers, it does give a black eye for baseball. I mean, I worked in the game for a couple of years in the minor league game, and I think that if fans have just seen it from the perspective of the stands and never from the front office, they have to understand the logistics of it. And I'm with you, John. This is all about owners being greedy and not looking out for the players. And I think this is, like I said, giving a black eye to the game, too. And I think I just want to get you guys' opinion. The longer it lingers and we lose regular season games, I mean, this is kind of going to be a mad dash for Correa and the rest of the free agents out there to find teams and then get to their respective spring training homes. But I think it's business, no doubt about it. And I think, really, I'm out for the players in this thing, too, because they got to look out for the younger stars of the game, plus, you know, their families and things like that, too. So I think the owners are really being greedy with this, and I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Yeah, I didn't know the stuff that Richie was talking about down to, you know, the revenue share is down to in the 30%. You know, basketball has, they have to split, you know, like a 50-50 split. Of course, basketball has the best deal of all of these, no question about it, how much money those guys are making. And football has a revenue sharing with the players as well. Apparently, baseball's has gone, you know, with the young player and, you know, like Richie said, that older player that's making $8 to $12 million is being eliminated from the game.
Well, the middle class is. I mean, it's like with anything, the rich are getting substantially richer,
right.
But
right.
The middle class, I mean, it's not unlike everything in the world. The middle class is getting eliminated because it's, and we're seeing it with football right now with quarterback salary. I had agents tell me, man, it's tough for middle class players because they would rather go young. If you have to pay that much, then the idea is, well, then go young. Just go young and eliminate those veterans who are good players, but we'll take a few less wins and we'll go cheaper. And that's – how do you fix that, John? Like, I don't know how you fix that. If you're uncapped on the top end, basketball at least has max contracts. I mean, it's a ton of money, but at least you know what the numbers are. It's a lot harder in baseball when everything's guaranteed. The contracts are getting so unbelievably long to the point that they're probably going to fail at the end where you'll have a ton of dead money. It's a problem with the structure of baseball, but you can't unring the bell. So it's not gonna change. If you could just magically, John, if somebody could magically come in and say, okay, let's redo this whole thing. Let's have top-end players. We're going to cap what you can make, but it's going to be in the 30 millions. We're going to do that. But we're going to cap the length of contracts to the longest you can have is a seven-year deal if you're with your team, six-year if you go somewhere else. You may end up having more movement that way. We're also going to raise the minimum. We're going to do more to take care of the minor league system. Mm. And we're going to put something in place, you know, true middle class exceptions, even though this is not a cap sport. We're going to put something in place that requires you to spend a minimum amount for a tier two player.
Yeah.
Like, that would make sense. But you can't just say we're going to restructure everything. That's just never going to happen.
Yeah. I got a question for you. I'm on Twitch right here, and Twitch, you guys are quiet today. You got a bunch of people in there, but the chat room is awfully quiet, which is, I don't know what's wrong with you.
What would be said? Hateful stuff?
Just hateful stuff, but that's what they do. But then on the side here, it says recommended channels, and it's got us up there, and it's got 790 The Ticket, CBS Sports Radio, Dallas Fan Cam, and then it's got Amorant, who... It says pools, hot tubs, and other stuff. Bikini Babe, Victoria's Secret Bikinis. Why is she in here? I want to know, is this what our viewers do?
Why is she not in OnlyFans? Where the real money is.
I mean, she might be. I don't know. But she's on Twitch. She appears to be. She's right in the thick of the sports thing. When I say right in the thick, I mean it about her.
I think it...
did you click on that?
No. I think
why
it's because
is she in this? In this,
there's our one
perv,
or two guys.
Our pervs.
Yes.
That's it.
It's basically that. It's because one or two guys who, like, if they get bored with the station, then they go look at some chick in a inflatable tub, and yeah. So that's why I think it's a recommended channel.
Elizabeth, viewers also do this, and there's different stuff on here. Twitch is kind of gross. It's got stuff on here, that's for sure. I guess you can find stuff anywhere, right?
It's got stuff on
here. Well, there's a lot of licking of the microphones going on here.
Hey,
I can tell you that.
Whoa, wait.
Yeah, I know. What is going on?
I could give you COVID.
Yeah.
You can't lick microphones.
I don't think they care. Speaking of which, I didn't see one mask at the State of the Union. Did you watch the State of the Union last night?
No, I was busy having drinks.
You weren't?
I was busy having food and drinks. Busy eating fish at a restaurant that's landlocked.
Okay, I didn't see.
Some cocktails. I saw what's her name, that crazy one from Colorado screaming at Biden. I saw that on Twitter. But I didn't see, not the mask. We have a mask policy, a strict mask policy here with the NFL Network, but I just, I've noticed that's kind of,
yeah. Yeah.
You guys see any of those HR narcs? Well, they're not around. Cool.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
She's very annoying. How old are you two? I'm just saying, why is Amaranth with all of these sports stations? Because of you pervs. That's why. Because of you pervs. ESPN viewers also watch. Oh, Amaranth. Okay. I get it. Thank you. You're the pervs, not me. Anyway, you, by the way, you picked Lance's picture that you picked. You got a smirk. You got kind of a smirky grin on your face here, Lance. You look
good.
Yeah, you look like you're.
I'm not
you're
on
like,
Twitch,
you
but
think
I can
you're
just,
better than everybody else.
Yeah,
or something.
Good. I feel like I am right now. As
you
I'm
do?
Sitting this
oh, well, are you wearing
right
your? Did you? Are you still wearing your makeup from yesterday?
No, I took it off.
Did you?
I was going to, but I don't sleep in my makeup. I left it on throughout the night. Dinner.
Oh my!
Having drinks. I mean, I wanted to look my best.
Well, for sleeping.
No, I took it off before I slept. But I'm just saying, when I was out and about, you keep your
you
makeup on.
You didn't wash it off after your TV spots. You went out on the town.
Yeah.
I look good. You
so
know
I
what?
Said,
I'm gonna wear my makeup out.
Yeah, they're like, wow, you've got like
a glow.
Like a very fresh
you're glowing.
Glow to you. Like, yeah, you know. I told when the makeup girls were putting up with a woman who runs it, there's like four of them in the room, and I said, can you make my lips pouty? I haven't been on live TV for a couple of years. She goes, yeah, I'll hook you up with pouty lips. That's not a problem. I said, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Pouty lips? You had,
thank you.
You had some pouty lips on this show.
Yeah, I just want to look a little pouty. It is weird seeing, there's been so much turnover in the league. I don't even recognize half the coaches and general managers. The amount of turnover, I was like, I saw this one guy go over and, hug. And this guy's already in place, so shame on me. But Arthur Smith, I didn't know what Arthur Smith looked like for some reason. I saw Arthur Smith talking to different people, and I'm like, I wonder who this guy works for. Oh, it's the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. What do you know? There's Arthur Smith. Who's this guy? Oh, it's the new GM of the Minnesota Vikings. Oh. Never would have known it.
Nope.
Never would have known it. So Nathaniel Hackett, just big toe guy. You see him like, okay, this is what. So he looks like Matt Hasselbeck's brother.
So I am not about to pull a Jerry Lewis watching Amaranth, okay?
No.
So
get off of this. No one knows what you're talking about unless they're on Twitch anyway. It's like 120 people.
If you were
on
listening
Twitch
yesterday, you know who had a rougher day PR-wise, okay? Putin or Jerry Lewis?
Putin.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
But Jerry didn't have a great day either.
I don't think let me tell you who I don't think cares about PR.
Well, he's dead.
Putin, did you see what Twitter's saying about you?
Oh, no.
Don't care. They say nothing about me in Russia because you can't get a Twitter in Russia.
Everything is wonderful. They say I'm a wonderful leader. Everybody happy about war.
It's not war. We're just taking back what is ours by bombing out by bombing out people's apartments.
We don't bomb nothing.
We're not killing innocent civilians. Why is this whole apartment on fire? And there's a playground set right here with crumbled bricks and bodies all over. This is soldiers.
Oh, all right.
Okay. All right, Putin. Looks like a war crime.
It did look like a war crime.
No, it's a war crime jumping off. Yeah, 100%.
846 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Come on in.
ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hockey is in the middle of this thing now. The NHL has cut ties with any Russian sponsors that they have. Did you see Dominik Hasek wants Alexander Ovechkin out of the league? He wants him kicked out. Until this thing...
No, this is a pretty... I mean, this is... I think some of these sanctions, you know, people kind of sleep on that, but I've been keeping track of what some of the sanctions are, and it's... People are doing what they can. For example, FIFA has kicked... They've kicked Russia out of the World Cup. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. I know here it may not seem like a big deal, but that's a really big deal to kick Russia and their competitor and, you know, and all their teams. I mean, FIFA has basically said any Russian team is not welcome to compete at all until further notice, and that's going to be a big deal to kick them out. Obviously, Putin believes Ukraine's a bigger deal, and I think I saw talk that he wants to expand beyond Ukraine. Imagine that, shocker! Go back in history and look. There's another guy that wanted to expand in Europe too, but I think the sports leagues are going to do what they can. Russian athletes are all speaking out. This is how you know it's a different time. Russian athletes are speaking out. That's about this aggression. That's unusual.
Oh, you haven't even mentioned the worst one.
Which one?
Putin actually himself got his black belt revoked.
Oh, yeah.
By the International Taekwondo Organization.
Yeah, Taekwondo said, you know what? Give us this back. You
and he could face,
yeah. Then he could face disciplinary kick their ass.
Action.
I don't have a black belt. Watch me. I'll still kick your ass. Okay.
He still learned all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I create new color for belt. Man, Dominik Hasek, he went after Ovechkin because Ovechkin, he called him chicken bleep. But also a liar. Every adult in Europe knows well that Putin is a mad killer and that Russia is waging an offensive war against the free country and its people. The NHL must immediately suspend contracts. The NHL must immediately suspend contracts for all Russian players. Every athlete represents not only himself and his club, but his country and its values in action.
Wow.
That is a fact. If the NHL does not do so, it has an indirect co-responsibility for the dead in Ukraine.
My gosh.
Dominik Hasek.
Dominik Hasek is putting this on the NHL?
Yeah.
They're like, hey, wait a minute. Did you just say we're responsible for the dead people in Ukraine?
Yes. The NHL is apparently bombing Kyiv right now.
Wow. I had no idea. What a horrific organization the NHL is.
My gosh. Oh, Dominik Hasek going after it.
Man.
Wow. And you thought Phil Mickelson was rough. On the PGA Tour.
I did, but I guess that's nothing compared to what's going on with
the NHL is bombing
Hasek, man.
Ukraine.
That's a little bit of a stretch.
Let's get Spencer in here. Let's talk about the lockout. What say, Spencer?
I'm just absolutely dumbfounded at what a horrible job baseball and Major League Baseball continues to do. I mean, we've had back-to-back dumpster fire commissioners who from a PR standpoint can't get out of their own way. Bud Selig was a disaster, and now you have Rob Manfred, who's just he's a freaking joke. Because when you look at other commissioners, you know, David Stern, say what you want about him, he loved basketball, he loved the NBA. Roger Goodell is a giant D-bag, but nobody likes Goodell. The owners don't like him, the players don't like him, but he's always worried about the shield. Rob Manfred doesn't care about anything. I mean, for him to be cracking jokes yesterday at his press conference when games are being canceled, you know, he called the World Series trophy just like a piece of metal. I just don't think he cares about the game. And it is just it's truly incredible to me that Major League Baseball would be so short-sighted that they're just going to start canceling games. It truly blows my mind because, I mean, y'all are old enough, like I am, to remember what a disaster – 94 was. I mean, baseball did not recover from the strike in 94 and 95 until steroids. And in some ways, it never has fully recovered because we have, I mean, y'all talked about it, it's a regional sport. It's not a national pastime anymore. And for Major League Baseball to be so short-sighted to pull this nonsense coming out of a pandemic, it just absolutely blows my mind. But the saddest part is that I'm not really surprised because Major League Baseball has a track record in history of being the dumbest, most short-sighted group of owners in all of American sports.
Yep. So
that's it.
Agreed. Well said. And you're I couldn't agree more with everything. Baseball's stupid. Just stupid. You know, this will pass and we'll – unless this keeps on – I mean, how does this end? I mean, if they wouldn't come to – neither side will budge on this – on just money issues. It's just so – they're so stupid.
Well, John, you know, so this is to Spencer's point. What can they do if they don't start canceling games? And I do think that when you lose games, it hits a little harder. I think Manfred Major League Baseball is doing this because they're trying to create a sense of urgency to get something done. If you didn't cancel, so what would the alternative be? So you don't cancel games. They've already said they need 4 weeks to get players ready and avoid injury and all that stuff. What is the alternative to setting deadlines? Just, I guess the alternative is you just keep going along status quo, but you still are going to eventually run into a deadline to where you realize there's not enough time to get ready for the season. So what's the difference? At some point, you're not going to be able to get ready for a season if this goes too far.
Yeah, well.
You say you lose games. I mean, I know his comment was more.
Well, that's why you're losing games. Every week, you're just going to lose another game because you still have to get your time ready. And you know what? I don't care. You know, Rob Manfred sucks. Rob Manfred just sucks. Now, do you agree with everything he said? Like Roger Goodell is a D-bag? I don't know. Lance, okay?
He didn't say that.
Yeah, he said Roger Goodell's a D-bag and everybody hates him.
That's not true. I like him a lot.
He's such a suck-up.
That's my dude right there.
He's such a suck-up. No, The Rock is the dude, okay? That's the guy. That's my guy right there, The Rock. Your guy sucks. 857 ESPN 97.5. When we come back, where are the Texans with their cap space? Nick Caserio breaks it down for us next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, was he All-State? I don't know.
In the meantime, I'm breaking down the All-State Windows game. That's what I'm doing. And All-State Windows is for people who want to get serious about getting rid of their old. You know, if you want to get rid of your old you know, aluminum windows that are all jacked up. They're leaky. You can feel the cold weather basically right through the windows, or you see dust in your home during the summer. That means you have leaky windows. Get the double-pane, double-strength windows that are made in Texas by Allstate Windows. They're made here in Texas for Texas weather. And the great thing is four generations of Allstate Windows and Siding or four generations of the same family have run Allstate Windows and Siding, and so their name really means something. Their product, their quality of service, it really means something to them, and you see the difference. I saw the difference with the siding work that they did for me. They've got the siding and the windows that beautify your home, but more importantly, I think, is that it really makes your home much more energy efficient, and that's something that windows can do. They're going to give you 25% off of your windows, and for a limited time, no interest for 36 months. So they let you pay this out over 36 months, and there's no interest payments. 832-204-1936. That's your phone number. Write it down. Call it right now if you want. 832-204-1936. You need to mention ESPN and Lance Zierlein to get this hookup, but they're ready to take care of you. Military, senior citizen, and cash discounts are available for the best rate. Call Allstate Windows and Siding. AllstateWindowsandSiding.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports.